Welcome back. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be back.
Lines are full already, so let's just start.
Amazing what cold weather will do.
Exactly so. We'll start in with somebody in Chicago, and this is line number 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
A warm air heating system with a slightly neurotic-seeming thermostat. Every now and again, it cycles on and stays on for about 20 seconds. A furnace person came out and checked the furnace a week or so ago and just suggested I buy a new thermostat. It's apparently a white Rogers type, I think, and it operates air conditioning in the summer and cycles on for about 15, 20 seconds sometimes every third cycle, something like that. Would you concur, and is that something that an idiot can change himself? Therefore, it's one of the ones where detachable front cover, battery and system inside, removable cover, and then there are 4 wires separately colored from within the wall.
Right. I would think that that should be able to be changed by yourself without any major problem. This is apparently one of White Rogers' electronic thermostats, and the dependability of electronic thermostats does tend to leave a little bit to be desired. The old-fashioned Honeywell round ones have much less trouble, but they don't have such niceties as automatic night setback and all that sort of thing.
Would you concur that that's likely to be the cause?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Let's see. Before I get on other callers, maybe I should mention, I neglected to mention right at the beginning, that AM 580 thanks Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors for its support of Focus 580. Overhead Doors is pleased to support public radio in central Illinois on behalf of its customers and business associates. Okay, let's go back here to some local folks, all in Champaign, all in a row, starting here with line number 1. Hello.
Yeah, good morning. This is sort of a general basic background inquiry. I have a gas hot air furnace that's about 30 years old. It served me well, and I've heard some of what you've had to say about the newer furnaces, so I'm not eager to replace it until I need to. I understand that the decisive way that a gas furnace fails is that it rusts through, and
some type of crack in the heat exchanger will cause bring it up for immediate replacement.
Right, and what are the symptoms of that? How do you know that you have the problem?
Well, you probably never will. It's one of those things where somebody has to go in, stick a flashlight and mirror in, and look. It is also possible to use some type of tracer. In our inspections, we put in an ultrasonic generator in the bottom of the heat exchanger and then go around with a receiver and see if we're getting any ultrasound out of any of the registers. The only way that would happen, of course, is if there was a crack that allowed the two to connect. It is possible that you could get some carbon monoxide and so on, but if the furnace is properly adjusted, the odds of getting any significant amount of carbon monoxide is fairly small. And so a monoxide detector will protect your life, but it will not necessarily detect a crack in the heat exchanger. Now, of course, as long as the crack is there and you're not getting carbon monoxide circulating through the house, it's not really a major problem. So that would be one way, is to put in a carbon monoxide detector, which is not a bad idea anyway, and go from there. Or else, if you have your furnace serviced regularly, your furnace serviceman should be able to spot any cracks.
Okay, he does it visually?
He will normally do it visually.
Okay. So is that something that a homeowner can learn how to do?
Probably. If you have a mirror on an extension handle and a good flashlight, and you can take the front off the burner compartment, stick this thing back in there and inspect everything, that won't catch a crack on the top of the heat exchanger, but that's not usually where the problem occurs. It will usually occur toward the front, oftentimes over the pilot light. And, of course, if things are rusty in there, it could be cracked and you can't see it. So periodic cleaning of the furnace is a very good idea.
A periodic cleaning.
Yes. In other words, you may get soot, rust, etc., accumulating on the heat exchanger, which could disguise a crack. When we run into a situation like that, then somebody, we call a service person and have them clean the thing out so that we can see.
And they do that how?
They go in with a wire brush and with a bendable handle so they can get in there and clean all this stuff out, and usually a little vacuum cleaner and pick up all the debris.
Oh, okay. So, but this is something you'd only have to do if it was sort of obvious that it was dirty and rusty.
Yes. Now, they would do, adjust the pilot light so that it's burning cleanly and adjust the air mixture so that you are getting maximum combustion efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just to recapitulate, you said that if one has this problem, the furnace should be replaced immediately.
Yes.
But you can go for quite a while with the problem and never know it.
That's true.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call. Let's go on to another Champagne person. You hear this line, too. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes.
I just moved into a 3-year-old house with a trained furnace, and it's extremely dry. I'm looking for some sort of humidifier. Any clues?
Buy a caulking gun. In other words, the only reason that a house is dry is because there's too much outside air infiltration.
There's very little that I can detect as I walk around the walls and outlets and things.
That's good. But as I say, otherwise the furnace really doesn't take any air, shouldn't take any air in that way. You're not getting rid of moisture. What's happening is that you are getting outside air infiltration, and the outside air is very dry. Now, as far as humidifiers are concerned, I have seen more houses ruined by humidifiers than have been helped by them. Power humidifiers are something I wish had never been invented, very honestly. But there are certain circumstances, particularly if you have a relatively large house and do minimal cooking and laundry and things like this, yes, it may dry. And I would prefer, rather than a system that attached to the furnace, one that you have to dump a little water in so that it doesn't over-humidify when you're not aware of it.
Okay.
So,
suggestions?
Any of the cold steam humidifiers. Doesn't make any difference where you put it. Humidity moves through the house on the basis of vapor pressure, not air movement.
But just so, anything you plug into the wall and it
right.
puts out steam.
Right. Well, steam or cold vapor, whatever.
All right.
And as I say, you can put it in the far corner of the basement if you want to. It'll still humidify the whole house.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And another Champagne person. This is line 3. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, I replaced a garage door, an old wood garage door, with a good quality Larson insulated screen door. And the reason I did that was so that I could get a little ventilation in the garage over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But since the cold has set in, I'm finding that the inside of the door is, I guess the condensation is coating it with ice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a problem with the handle lock mechanism. Any suggestions?
Okay, now you're saying this is the house, the door between the house and the garage?
No, this is just, it's a separate detached garage, and it's just a side door into the garage. It was an old kind of deteriorating wood door, and I replaced it with a screen door.
Okay, well, basically what happens is in this kind of weather, the snow, slush, and crud accumulates on the bottom of your car, and you bring your car into the garage, and it often thaws off, and we end up with water evaporating into it.
Sure.
And basically what we need to do is ventilate the garage.
Okay. So open that screen a little?
Yeah.
Okay, that should. And what about the handle, the lock? Is there anything I can do to keep that from freezing up?
Well, once we eliminate the moisture problem, there's nothing left there to freeze.
Okay.
In the meantime, you can hit it with one of these lock de-icer sprays, and that'll get rid of it for the moment. But as I say, if you can keep the humidity down in the garage, the condensation won't occur. You won't have the problem.
Got it. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. The guest this morning here in this first part of Focus 580, Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. It's our monthly show on home maintenance. And if you have a problem, give us a call. And Hank will do his best to help you out. If you're here in Champaign-Urbana, where we are, the number is 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Then that one will save you the cost of the call if it would be long distance for you. Use that number, 800-222-9455. To Bradley for the next caller, and it's line number 4. Hello?
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for this program.
Sure.
We have a problem with a water heater. It's probably about 8 years old. Once or twice a year, my wife will crank it up to a higher setting to do some dyeing and then turn it back down again. Well, we did this about a month ago, and this time when we turn it the thermostat down, the water temperature has not gone down accordingly. Can you suggest what might be going on and what we should do?
Well, I suspect the problem is in the thermostat itself. And, yes, you can replace it. However, when you figure out what it's going to cost to replace the thermostat, you may be better advised to replace the water heater.
It's exactly what we were thinking. And at 8 years old, that's probably, what, three-fourths of its life?
Well, let's see. Okay, you're running on Kankakee City Water?
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably all of that.
Okay. All right. Well, we know what to do there. Second question. We're thinking about leaving for a couple of months and leaving you folks with the slush and the snow and the ice and all, hopefully.
That's very generous of you.
I thought you'd like that. And one of the things that I'm concerned about when we're away from the house, we are going to shut the water down.
Yes.
I noticed that it doesn't take too long before the drains begin to dry out. And it seems like it barely more than 2 weeks, and we'll start getting some odor out of the drains. Can I cover those drains?
Well, probably the easiest thing to do is to pour a little mineral oil into them, which will stop the evaporation. And when you're done, when you come home, it just flushes on down the drain.
Oh, I like that better because there's something about plugging up a drain that disturbs me.
Yeah.
Okay.
But half a cup or so to a cup of mineral oil. You know, the cheapest thing you can find at the discount drugstore should take care of the problem.
Excellent suggestion. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas to you.
And thanks. Same to you. So okay. There, what you're just doing is then if you add that to the water that's in the traps, then
It will float on top of the water. And actually, that's probably enough to fill the trap even if all the water was to evaporate out. It would be filled with the oil, and the oil doesn't evaporate.
Okay, very good. We'll just keep on going here. Let's see. What will be next will be Urbana, and that's line 1. Hello.
Hi. I have, I'm not sure if there are problems or not. We have an attic that has a continuous ridge vent.
Yes.
And the one problem is we get snow on these days, or yesterday and the day before, that blows in and collects on top of the insulation. And I don't know if that will just evaporate off or if I should try to remove that or different type of vent.
I would assume that should just evaporate off without hurting anything.
Okay. And then the second issue is we have this, I guess it's the plastic encased fiberglass insulation up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's perforated.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stick your hand on the top side underneath there right now, there's ice. And so there's moisture there, and I don't know if that, too, will evaporate off or if that is an indication of...
Okay, now, I'm trying to visualize here. There is at least one brand of insulation that comes with a fully enclosed plastic bat, which is supposed to be breathable so the moisture won't accumulate in it.
Right.
Is that the type you have?
That's what it said on the insulation itself.
I'm wondering if somebody put it in upside down.
No, it's on both sides. This is the second layer. On both sides, it's encased with the plastic, but it's perforated with small, you know, probably pin-sized holes.
Mm-hmm.
But it does collect moisture I haven't noticed anything on the bottom side, but on the side towards the roof.
Yeah. Well, I
fair amount of ice right now.
The main problem is that the house was built without a vapor retarder in the ceiling.
Right.
And Theoretically, it should work. However, my suggestion would be to take a razor blade knife and cut the plastic so that the vapor can get out of it better.
Okay. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right, thank you. And to Nexus line number two, and that is in Champaign.
Hi. Let's see. We have an older bungalow-style house, and the second floor doesn't seem to get enough heat, especially when it's very cold. Mm-hmm. And we had thought of a couple of solutions. One is to put in a booster fan, perhaps, in the vent. We've adjusted the duct so that most of the air is supposed to go up to the second floor. But a friend of ours said just leave the fan on, the furnace fan on all day, and that would take care of it. And it does. We were wondering if that's bad for the fan, if that's going to burn out the motor soon.
No. I think that works fine.
Okay. So what do you think of a booster fan in the duct? Or is there a way to adjust the automatic so that, you know, if the furnace comes on, then the fan will stay on an extra 10 or 15 or a half hour?
No, not usually. Though there is a fan switch in the heat exchanger of the furnace that will turn the fan on as the heat exchanger warms up, and it's supposed to stay on until the heat exchanger cools off. Now, I don't know whether it is staying on or whether the fan shuts off when the burner shuts off.
The fan stays on about 10 to 15 minutes after the burner shuts off.
Okay, then that's running the way it's supposed to.
Okay. Then, so there's no problem with just leaving the fan on to equalize the temperature between?
No, the only thing it can do is that it can provide a draft, so to speak, at times when you're not heating very much. But during very cold weather, no. In all probability, if the furnace, I think your basic problem is your furnace is oversized, therefore it's cycling too much.
Okay.
And in cold weather, there's no problem at all with letting it run continuously, because if everything was properly set up, any time the outside temperature was below 20, the fan should never shut off.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you very much.
All right. Thanks. This is something that we probably talked about before, and maybe a difficult question to answer, but that is when you're thinking about, say you're thinking about having a new furnace, how do you decide how big is enough? Because the furnace guys, they seem to want to sell you one bigger than you really need. How do you decide?
Well, there is a somewhat involved calculation process. Generally speaking, we use what is called Manual J from the Air Conditioning Contractors of America. If you have a hot water system, the Hydronics Institute has a similar manual, the same way we have one from the Edison Electric Institute, if you have electric heat, as to how to calculate the appropriate size of the heating equipment. And many installers will tend to oversize simply because they don't want to get a phone call when it's 15 below outside that you're saying that you're freezing. That is not always the most efficient way of doing it. A severely oversized furnace will be less efficient than a properly sized furnace, mm-hmm. and should produce better comfort conditions because of this bit that everything will cycle what it's supposed to.
And so it is more like it's more complicated than simply how many square feet there are in the
absolutely.
House.
Absolutely. You have to consider window area. You have to consider the amount of insulation. You have to make an educated guess as to how much air infiltration there is. If you get a drafty old farmhouse, it may take twice the size furnace for the same number of square feet as one of the new ones. Some of the new houses that they're doing with super insulated, you'd almost heat with candles, but in many circumstances, they don't make furnaces small enough to cover the calculated heat loss on them. So, yes, it's there are strict mathematical procedures for doing it. However, even those are based upon an educated guess on several factors.
Okay. We're close to the midpoint here with Hank Speetz. This is our monthly show on home maintenance. And if you have questions, call us. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. The next caller is in Champaign, line number three. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. We have a 70-year-old two-story bungalow, and last week we had some frozen pipes upstairs, specifically for our shower. And we had a plumber come out, and we discovered that there was heating tape on these pipes, and one of them had stopped working. So anyway, we replaced the heating tape with some new stuff, but my question is, I'm not real comfortable using heating tape.
Nor am I.
Okay. What other solutions are there? This is a part of an attic, access to an attic, and there is insulation around these pipes, but it's just regular insulation.
No, there's the problem is you don't necessarily need the insulation on the pipe. What you need is insulation around the passage to the pipe and a way for air to circulate in that space. So you may actually be insulating the pipe from the heat source when you put the insulation directly on the pipe.
Okay.
As soon as you set a shower in a house that old, we know that it was not built that way. So somebody did some creative routing of pipes when the shower was put in. And yes, sometimes you have to allow some air circulation into a wall to keep the pipes from freezing. But that is far more reliable than a heat tape is.
Okay.
Heat tapes are the source of many fires.
Okay. Okay. So should we nail put insulation up against the rafters? Would that be better? Or
without actually being able to see your situation, I can't tell you.
Okay.
It may be, but as I say, you basically need some air circulation in the space containing the pipe. And, all right, if it's just going up through the attic, I'm not surprised that it froze, because you would need to build a housing around it and then allow some airflow into that housing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid I can't. There's so many different ways they could have piped it, I can't give you an all-purpose answer.
Okay. Okay. All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. We'll go next to Charleston, line number 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Mr. Spees, I'm living in a 3-year-old new home without a fireplace, and now I'm concerned over power loss. What's your viewpoint of the old-fashioned kerosene heater?
They are major sources of indoor air pollution. This is particularly, they produce large quantities, not of carbon monoxide, but of carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxides, a little sulfur oxides, and these have proven to be quite detrimental to the infants and the elderly.
Well, so, I'm the elderly.
from your voice, I suspected that.
Yes.
So I would not be in favor of the old-fashioned kerosene heaters. There are some propane ones, catalytic propane heaters, that are better. I still don't like to recommend them. Many city building codes prohibit them.
Well,
but if you've got to have something, that's probably the best way to go is a catalytic propane backup.
Why are they prohibited?
Again, there's always a certain amount of combustion products, and we don't really want them accumulating in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably no worse than your gas range, but of course they produce a lot of indoor air pollution as well. So, as I say, they have these catalytic ones that run off propane. They're often used in recreational vehicles and things like this without any problem. But I certainly, if you used one of those things, I would certainly have a carbon monoxide detector.
I see. Do you place these in the house? Or
yes.
How does that work?
Yes, in the house.
Are they small, big, medium, or?
They're quite portable. You can pick them up and move them.
I see.
You have to move the propane bottle too, but.
Do they give out quite a bit of heat?
Well, not as much as your furnace.
No.
It would take several, but they'll certainly keep a room warm.
I see.
and generally keep pipes from freezing.
Well, the main thing about these is then that they are, they send off these fumes.
Yes.
Is this a dangerous situation?
Well, the catalytic ones, not particularly. The other ones, non-vented kerosene or non-vented gas-burning heaters, can be, but the catalytic ones are pretty good.
I see. Where do you find these?
Well, your local propane dealer may have them. If not, recreational vehicle dealers will.
I see. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, thank you. I guess it just to underscore this point one more time, the thing that people should remember is that the kerosene heaters that the caller is referring to and that people may be familiar with, these things were not made to be used in unvented spaces.
Right. They came with a warning that you should open the window an inch or two in the room in which they're being used. Well, of course, that pretty much defeats their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
These things appeared on our market back in the early 70s when the Arabs turned the oil off back then, and they may have been the worst thing the Japanese did to us since Pearl Harbor. They really did cause a lot of people a lot of problems, and anyone with any respiratory problems, and they say particularly infants and elderly, are severely affected by these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So, other than the propane powered thing that you mentioned, if you need to do sort of emergency space heating, and if you don't have any electricity, is there anything else?
The kerosene heater isn't going to run without electricity either. Remember, those have a motor on them.
Well, I guess I'm thinking about the kind that are used.
Okay.
You know, if you got a machine shed or something,
that's
what you would.
You definitely have a ventilation problem there.
Okay.
That you need to, and this is why the catalytic versions, rather than the old fashioned ones, are far superior in terms of their emissions.
Okay, all right. Well, we keep going here. We got some other folks lined up, ready to go back in here at line number one, and that would be Urbana.
Yes, good morning, mm-hmm. Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for Hank concerning a humidifier. I assume that you probably touched on this subject by now, but I haven't heard the entire program. I have a furnace that has an April Air humidifier in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not functional at the moment. I believe it got leaky and the water was turned off some years ago. Now the unit is probably only about 7 or 8 years old. Would it be worth my while to determine the fault in this unit and get it up and going?
Well, if your house is too dry, yes, it would. If you're going to have a power humidifier, that type is the best one to have.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple of things that may have caused them to turn it off. First of all, the keep-vill valve may have leaked or been leaking so that you continually had water running down the drain. And on April Air, you always will have a small amount of water running down the drain because that's what they use to flush out the minerals that are left to keep from building up inside. You may also need to replace the wheel or the pads that through the water. Or it's quite possible that someone at some point decided that the humidifier was causing problems and just turned the water off.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and take another look at it and possibly get it back online. Thank you very much.
Okay. Generally speaking, we like to maintain the humidity in the house at a level such that you do not get zapped when you touch the doorknob or the light switch, and that you do not have condensation on the windows.
Yeah, I was getting zapped this morning, so.
Okay.
You could leave
a little more then.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You generally, though, have been really down on these kinds of humidifying devices that are integral parts of furnaces. This particular one, though, you think?
Well, if you're going to have one, that's one to have. I wouldn't, but at any rate, if you're going to have one, that's the type to have. The main problem occurs in that people tend to ignore them and don't follow the instructions. And so also the fact that the sensing element in the humidistat gets further and further out of calibration every year because it's basically a little strip of plastic that changes length according to moisture, and the more dust that it accumulates, the less accurate it is. And, of course, we can't protect it from dust because we have to expose it to the room air. So it's a matter of calibration as much as anything else. And you have to reset the humidistat setting with the outdoor temperature. You'll find there's a scale on the device that shows where to set it according to what the outdoor temperature is. The colder it gets outside, the lower the humidity reading should be in the house, or condensation will occur. And you can run into problems with condensation in the insulation, in the walls, in the ceiling, on the glass, this sort of thing. So they're fine if they're used properly, but I would say 95% of them aren't.
All right. On again to Champaign, line number two. Hello?
Yes. I'm wondering if you could tell me, I thought I heard something a little bit earlier in the program, maybe 5 minutes ago or something like that, about the outside temperature getting to a certain point. I think you said 30 degrees and the fan should be on all the time. Did I hear you correctly on that?
Yes.
So could you just talk a little bit about that and say what your reasoning is?
As we mentioned, the fan is operated by a thermostat in the heat exchanger, and it will run as long as the temperature in the heat exchanger is above its set point. Now, this set point is usually 100 to 110 degrees, so that when the furnace fires up, the fan won't come on and blast you with cold air until the air in the furnace is up to that set level. Likewise, there is a switch on it that will keep it running until the temperature in the heat exchanger drops back down to a set level. And if your furnace is properly sized, it will cycle often enough that the on a very cold design day, when it's below, say, 30, 25 or 30 outside, if your furnace is properly sized, that heat exchanger will never cool down far enough to shut the furnace down. Shut the blower down. So, generally speaking, if you in really cold weather your fan is cycling, it just means that your furnace is oversized.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that information.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Next is line number three. This is Urbana.
Yeah, my question is regarding a water heater. Should it be flushed out every year or every 2 years?
It's not a bad idea. In Champaign-Urbana, it's not much of a problem in that the water treatment that we have installed citywide here, there is relatively little buildup in the water heater. Now, there's always a certain amount because the final filter at the water company is a sand filter, and there's a certain amount of sand that will get washed into the pipe, and eventually there will be some accumulation. It's not a bad idea to do it, but it is far less important in Champaign-Urbana because of the way the water is treated than it is in most of the outlying towns.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, then, thank you. Next is line four, back to Charleston. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I have two questions related to heating. And we live in a 100-year-old home, and just recently, several years ago, put a furnace up in the attic, and then we also have one in the basement. So the attic heater heats the second floor, and the basement heats the first floor. But
right.
We just in the last year renovated the attic, and so right now we had a couple of vents put in the attic, and the attic is doing fine. It gets enough heat, but the second floor, where all of our bedrooms are, seems to not heat up as well as it used to. And is this something that's related to the furnace size, or what can we do to get more heat on that second floor?
Well, it's probably related to the damper, or I should say lack of damper, that adjusts the amount of heat that goes to the attic as versus the amount of heat that goes to the second floor. And your furnace man, depending on how the ductwork is laid out, should be able to install a damper there that will proportion the heat that goes to each place. And if you have an air conditioner on that second unit, which I suspect you do, that setting will be different in summer than it is in winter.
Okay, because I don't think they did anything with the damper. I think they just put in some vents and didn't.
All right, well, in that case, you can try. Basically, what you should be doing is shutting down the vents in the attic until the second floor warms up enough.
Okay, and then go on and then open those up.
Yeah, because once you reach that setting, it's called balancing the heating system. You should be able to leave it that way all winter.
Okay, and we don't use our attic very much, so at least right now it's livable space, but we don't use it very often. So we really should make sure that's closed for the
right.
most part anyway to
right.
serve heat and to help out. Okay, the other question is about the furnace that's in the basement. I'll be sitting in my living room, and when the furnace kicks on, and sometimes after that too, I feel cold air coming at me rather than warm air in the winter. And one of the vents on the floor is underneath a window that's in a bay window area. That's the one that I feel the cold air on. Is there something we can do to get more warm air into that area? Or because it's near the window, it's near the outside.
Okay, well, that's exactly where it should be because we have cool air flowing down the window because the window is a pretty lousy insulator.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put a heat source underneath it to combat the downflow for it. Now, it may be possible that your furnace fan thermostat setting is a little bit too low, such that the fan is starting up before the heat exchanger gets as warm as it should be. Now, you're always going to get a small amount of cool draft when it starts because we're moving all the air in that duct who's had a chance to cool off. We're going to move that air into the room before the warm air gets there. The only other solution to that is just to turn your fan on continuous.
So is it possible that that it's something the furnace man can do to adjust that?
He can adjust the point at which the fan kicks in. In other words, the temperature in the plenum, which is the box above the furnace, has to reach a certain degree before the fan starts, and that is settable. There's just a little screw in the side of the unit that changes that setting. And that's a possibility. Or as I say, just go to your thermostat and flip it instead of the fan on auto, put the fan on. And this will keep you from getting a really cold draft in very cold weather. As well, it gets mild, you may want to return it to auto.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. We have about 10 minutes. 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580 with Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He is with us every month, always on a Monday. We talk about home maintenance and answer as many questions as we possibly can. The number, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. We have somebody on a cell phone from Metcalf. That's line number 3. Let's go there. Hello.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Sure.
I have a water heater in my home. My home is 20 years old, and I think the water heater is probably that old, you know, original mm-hmm. installation. The first thing I want to know, is there any way I can find out on that water heater how old it actually is, if it's a newer installation than original?
A person who sells and installs them should be able to take the serial and model number and find it. It varies with manufacturer as to how they incorporate that into the number, but it, they always do.
Okay. Now, what it's a gas heater, and what it's doing is it just doesn't recover very quickly, and it does not two showers is pushing it for the thing, and it's a 40-gallon heater. I just think
okay, when the burner is on and burning, does it thump? Do you hear a thumping sound coming from the water heater?
No, I haven't heard anything unusual.
Okay. In all probability, what is happening is the so-called dip tube has corroded off and fallen off.
Okay.
And it's a matter of getting in and replacing that dip tube.
Okay, I don't need a whole new unit. I just need to replace
it. You may not need a whole new unit. If it's thumping, throw the thing away. If it isn't, then you want to consider the possibility of a new dip tube.
Okay, very good. And one more thing, and I don't mean to keep whipping a dead horse, but I've got a humidifier in my house. It's a standalone unit.
Yes.
That I bought just this year. And what I've been doing is when I run it, I'm watching my windows. And at only one point so far this season have I ever seen any humidity building up, and it was just a small amount on the bottom of one window in the house. And I immediately turned the thing down and been continuing to watch for that. Is that enough vigilance on
yes.
that? Yes. Okay, just so watching for vapor condensating on
right.
the windows is enough.
Right.
Okay. All right, thanks for your help.
All right, thank you. Next caller is in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Hi, Hank.
Yes.
I have a problem with my furnace. The pilot light has gone out twice in the last couple of weeks. I've had it on for several months, and this is the first time it's happened, but twice in 2 weeks. I'm wondering about that.
Well, you may have some piece of floating crud that's in there that's getting in there and flipping it off.
Would
also,
that be in the little tube that the gas comes out of for the pilot?
Well, it could be elsewhere, and it may... we've had some pretty high winds, I understand, here. I've been out of town, we've had some pretty high winds, and it's possible that the pilot light is being blown out. It's probably time for a service call.
Okay, winds would blow the pilot light out through the chimney, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I see. Okay, well, it looked to me like, I've just bought the house, and it looked to me like there was possibly a match head that had dropped into that pilot tube, sticking out a little bit. And if that sounds like that might
yes, it would.
Be a cause, too.
Right.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and next is line number two. This is Oakwood. Hello.
Yes, I have a question for Frank about putting insulation in my garage ceiling, and I want to know whether I should use faced or unfaced. It has a drywall ceiling in it.
You definitely want to use faced, but faced down.
Okay. And what R value should I use?
Well, how much do you heat it?
Well, it's unheated, really.
It's unheated.
Yes.
Actually, I can't get excited about putting more than an R11 in there.
Okay, that's what I need to know. And also, it's got vented soffits in it. And we just bought this house about 4 years ago, and I was up there the other day, and I noticed that they've got insulation batting stuffed in between that. Now, should all that come out when I put that insulation in?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I need to know.
All right.
Enjoy your program.
All right. Thank you.
You
very much. Next is Farmer City, line number four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a home that's 20 years old, and we have the heat pump, and what it's doing, it's, if it gets below freezing, it frosts the sides up, you know. And we have a backup. We have a generator in the wintertime when electricity goes off, but I've got a gas furnace I'm running right now, and it frosts all up the sides. Can you tell me what the problem with that be with the heat pump?
Okay, I think your refrigerant charge is off, and you probably need your serviceman to come out and check your level of refrigerant charge in the heat pump.
Okay. Also, I got a shake shingle roof, and some of the, not all of them, but some of the ends of the shingles are starting to rot up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a double underlayment on that, you know, when we put the roof on
right.
of heavy tar paper. Is how much more will that continue to keep going? Is there anything I can do to that roof, or just let the, it's about an inch of a few of the shingles, you know, where it's just deteriorating?
Well, there are some things that you can spray on, a coating that will help that. The chemical name is copper octoate, and that will extend the life of the thing somewhat. It would have been better if it had been put on before it got that bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is a coating that could get sprayed on there every 5 to 8 years, something
okay,
like
that. Is
that
very costly or not?
Well, not having a shake roof, I've never gotten a bid on
yeah.
it.
How do you spell that last, copper octoate?
Octoate, O-C-T-O-A-T-E.
Thank you.
And do we have a man out that could take an address on the?
I imagine we could. Yeah, maybe Brian, if you could get the address of the caller, then you want to get back
yes,
to him.
I will mail a little sheet on the care and feeding of shake roofs.
Okay, that'd be fine. You want my address now?
We'll get you back on hold, and then you can tell the guy who took your call when you called in.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
To all of you.
Thanks to you, too.
Thank you.
Let me see. I guess we're going to go next to a caller in Champaign, and that would be line number 3. Hello?
Hi, hello there. I have about a 30-year-old house and a gas furnace and gas water heater, and those two share the exhaust flue, the chimney flue.
That's normal.
That's kind of where the problem I've been having is centering, because I'm getting a cold plug of air in that two-story high flue, and it sometimes starts backing up on these very cold nights, so that the exhaust gases don't clear it immediately. This wasn't much of a problem until we had a new furnace put in, and it has one of these electronic pilot light ignition systems, and there's a fan in the plenum of the furnace that is designed to make sure that the gases will exhaust,
right?
And it won't light the furnace unless it gets a good pressure reading saying that
yes.
fan is doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's getting cold, and you can't get that pressure difference, and I'm guessing that it must be that the fan is just circulating the air inside the house from the furnace over to the water heater.
Well, even if it did, you would still get the proper pressure differential to operate that switch.
Ah, okay. Well, then maybe the pressure sensor is just a little...
Well, it's either that or else you've got a partial blockage in the flue.
Okay, I don't think that's the case, because...
You'd be surprised how many dead birds we've pulled out of them.
Okay, well, that flue gets pretty hot. I'm surprised that anything would be left in there. All right, well, thanks very much, Hank. I'll have to take those things.
All right, okay. Well, thank you very much. And there, I'm sorry to say, we're going to have to stop. We got some people we cannot take. But next month, Hank will come back and we'll do it all over again. For the moment, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service.